I'm going to begin reconstructions of Mars. This would be the new evidences that suggest a great abundance of water on the Martian surface billions of years ago. We see the majestic nature of Mars. In the 1976 Viking studies were fairly conclusive. There were no micro-Martians. However, there are several pieces of evidence that suggest that Mars may have had a warmer and wetter climate during its early history. This evidence includes the occurrence of dendritic gullies in the heavily cratered uplands of the southern hemisphere and the morphological characteristics of impact basins. Large amounts of carbon dioxide in the early Martian atmosphere represent, to some scientists, the most likely way of achieving the necessary greenhouse warming to raise the surface temperature of early Mars above the freezing point of water. Surface pressures on the order of 1 bar are required in this case, that is, a 2/3 of magnitude increase in the amount of hemispheric carbon dioxide over the current content. A bar CO2 atmosphere is not inconsistent with estimates of Mars' volatile inventory. However, the occurrence of liquid water on the surface of early Mars would promote the formation of carbonate rocks at the expense of atmospheric CO2. Scientists have suggested that calculations suggest that 1 bar atmosphere on early Mars would be eliminated in about 10 to the 7th to 10 to the 8th years by carbonate rock formation. And in the absence of recycling rocks back to CO2, it is possible in the recycling carbonate phenomena that there was the loss of the atmosphere. At the same time, global scale volcanism could be an attractive way to accomplish this. In October of 1985, Jim Polak and Michael H. Carr came forth suggesting that on the basis of their studies of volcanism and the recycling process, Mars may have had a copious amount of water, perhaps as deep as 100 meters in some places. Some 8 years before, in the area of Cydonia, NASA scientists began to re-examine this unusual face form called the face of Cydonia. At first, Jerry Sothen at JPL, Jet Propulsion Lab, considered that this was simply a surface anomaly, perhaps produced by supersonic wind blast, nothing very, very special. However, two Goddard scientists by the name of DiPietro and Molinar were able to locate pixel number 35A72. And here we see the actual document. And they began to look at this from the standpoint of other details. We're looking now at an image recorded at 9.52 degrees, longitude and latitude 40.89 degrees. They decided to enlarge the mile-wide facial feature using digital computer techniques rather than the conventional photographic enlargers. They were convinced on the basis of other structures that were seen close to the face, the distance of some 8 to 9 kilometers to the southwest, that perhaps the face was a non-natural event. The information is obviously not accepted by most conventional standards of scientific measurement. But it here is being suggested that there is, in the image enhancement techniques of Molinar and DiPietro, a clue to a possible earlier scenario of life. In the enlargement, we see in the investigation 4 photographs. 2 of the head made at high resolution. 1 of the pyramids of Elysium, and 1 of the Inca city near the south pole of Mars. After 5 months, we have enlarged our database enormously. We now have 6 photographs of the head and a full range of sun angles. The original 2, document 35A72 and document 70A13, were taken in the afternoon at high resolution. This is in July of 1986. But still resolve the object well with many pixels. The new photographs that were located by our group, based on careful examination and photographic measurements, show the object to be remarkably symmetrical, about a midline, and with a very well-developed nose. It appears to have 2 eyes, a mouth, and the usual human proportions. It also appears to be wearing something resembling a helmet. This suggests that the object may be artificial. The document is reinforced by these new pictures rather than being refuted. Now, speaking for the research group at Goddard and SRI, the collective report goes as follows. We have found new photos of pyramids of Elysium, as well as new pyramids at other locations, showing a remarkable pattern in relationship to the Sidonia face. There is a geographic correlation among the sites. They are all near where water appears once to have flowed. They are all up above the 0 kilometer elevation line, according to U.S. Geological Survey Martian Atlas reports. 3 of the sites are near the edge of vast plains. All but one of the sites uses a alignment that is, as we determine, a crescent connected with Sidonia, the site of the head. And then, if I can summarize, we went to the original raw data to reevaluate the original Viking geochemical results in the light of these findings. For if we consider seriously the possibility of a dead civilization on Mars, there would have to have been a biosphere on Mars in some past epoch. The burning question became whether the Viking geochemical results preclude the possibility of a past Martian biosphere similar to that of Earth. The answer seems to be no. Instead, the presence of many river-like channels on the Martian surface strongly suggest that Mars had Earth-like temperatures and atmospheric pressures at one time. Note, this was made in 1982, prior to the evidences released by NASA Ames in 1985 that we're about to see. Further, the evidence of isotropic ratios for nitrogen and oxygen suggests that Mars once had a much larger amount of nitrogen and that a vast amount of water, enough to cover the planet's surface to a depth of 10 to 100 meters, may have been present at one time. Interestingly enough, the higher estimates of water amounts would have filled the northern plains and formed a polar ocean with sea levels at approximately 0 kilometers. The Viking landers both landed on the plains below 0 kilometers and found material which matches best with the terrestrial ocean bottom clays. One mystery that we have noted was that the Viking landers found no nitrates in the soil. Although the models for atmospheric photolytic reactions predicted that they should be present in significant quantities. This, curiously, is related perhaps to the question of a past biosphere. Finally, the Viking landers verified something which has long been suspected, that Mars is red because it is covered with red ferric iron. Since ferric oxide exists on Earth only in the red beds of the Precambrian and the Postcambrian layers, it is believed to mark the rise of free oxygen in the atmosphere produced by photosynthesis. Although the oxygen could have been formed by water, Rather than photosynthesis, the presence of these red iron oxides, taken with other evidence, suggests that a past Earth-like biosphere on Mars cannot be reasonably precluded. Now, this is a statement made by the research group behind the scenes. And I again want to prefix my remarks by saying that what I am presenting represents a minority report. We're going to look at this now in terms of other areas of synoptic measurement. And because several of the subjects here go into the paraphysical and the paranormal sides of the Mars story, I would like you to use a good selective factor for several of the arguments I do not personally accept, but may reflect arguments that are superlogical, logical, or quite illogical. So again, mindful of the new Viking materials, what I'm saying, if I may capsulize, is that we must look very carefully at Mars, not so much regarding the possibility of life on Mars, but regarding the possibility that an extrasolar event or life from elsewhere in the universe may have come by long enough to have left behind these structures of measurement. What I'm saying is we must entertain the information in the context of NASA's Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence program. In the context of our expansion into space, in the realization that everywhere we look through the telescope there are the amino acids, the basic building blocks of life, it is quite possible that an extrasolar intelligence could have measured life by executing pyramidal arrangements on Mars as well as on the planet, both planets of which share a similar rotational day. I want to begin part two by saying that the group that was brought together in 1982-83 represents a multidisciplinary team. Specialists from geology, imaging, photometrics, structural engineering, astronomy, and cultural anthropology. The purpose was to develop 7-frame mosaics of each site. Secondly, to apply processing enhancement techniques ranging from cubic convolution to the process of DiPietro and Molinar, known as SPIT, that would take one pixel and resolve it into 3 and finally into 9 image cells. Next, to prepare stereo and isocontour maps of the landforms, the pyramids, the face, and other appropriate landforms in the vicinity. And finally, to prepare orthographically rectified mosaic images of the sites and to investigate potential celestial alignments. For the record, I will simply say that the majority of the scientists involved in the teleconference were convinced that we should go back. Over 60% believed that the landforms in Cydonia and Elysium were non-natural. However, to argue from that point that there was life on Mars would be absurd without bringing into our discussion the rest of the story. So with your permission, I would like to look at the next two exhibits. I would like to suggest that there are obviously are critics that would suggest that what we're about to see is a trick of lighting or an artifact in the film or a misreading of the information. Systems that will be able to penetrate the subsurface of Mars by several meters. We know the permafrost extends down some 3 to 6 kilometers near the polar areas. We also have found some very interesting details at the South Pole. Dr. Mike Malin, graduate of Caltech, who's now at UC Arizona, has staked his reputation on the possibility that some of the meteorite material in Antarctica may come from Mars. The Americans, Brazilians, and South Africans have also
found beneath the area of the South Pole evidence of a previous geological period, fossilized evidence of jungle vegetation has been found, and Dr. Stevenson at IMPE in Brazil has gone on record, and he suggests that possibly we will find a clue to the greenhouse effect and even terraforming on Mars from further work at the base of activity in Antarctica.